Thank you, Sandy, for that song. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you here this morning. If you will, open your Bibles to the little book of Jonah. It's in the Old Testament, and as Brother Bill likes to say, just find Matthew and go left. Just a few pages and you'll find it. I am thankful for each and every one of you coming out this morning and gathering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm especially blessed because I am privileged to have two of my colleagues here with me.
Amen.
I don't mean to embarrass them. Adrian and Alexis, we're glad you're here. If you get a chance to give them the right hand of fellowship after the meeting, it would be appreciated. I do feel honored that they came out to hear me speak. So that doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while.
Amen.
Jonah in chapter 1 is a great story. It's amazing of all the stories in the Bible that Jesus mentioned this, the sign of Jonah.
That's right.
Now some people have a problem with a whale or a great fish swallowing a man, but Jesus said that's what happened.
That's right.
Jesus said that Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights.
Amen.
And that was a sign that the Son of Man was going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. You would not be wise in denying the validity of this story or the veracity of this story. This is a true story. It happened. And in this story, there are some lessons for us. And it is amazing that the Bible was written that way, written to teach people through stories. We learn great stories in the life of Abraham and Joseph and Noah and David the king and Solomon and the other Israelites that fought great battles. We learn great things, life-changing things, applications for our life in the stories that happen. And then, of course, the story of Jesus' life and the story of Paul and Peter and the apostles. Great applications for our life. And I hope you'll find something that will apply to your life here in this passage. I'm not going to read the whole book. It is a short book. I'm just going to read a first few verses, and then I'm going to tell the story, if you don't mind. So Jonah in chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And when the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every man to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. And they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the opportunity to meet in your name, the name of your glorious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful for the opportunity to open up the Word of God, give us enlightenment that we might understand it, and more importantly, apply it to our lives. Have mercy upon us. If there's anybody in the sound of my voice that's not saved, may they come to know you as their Savior. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The title of my sermon this morning is Running from God. What a proposition. I can imagine running from a dog or running from a bear or running from a lion. Not that anybody would recommend always running. Sometimes the best advice is just stand still. But the proposition that somebody would run from God is very interesting. We do find that happens in the Bible quite often. It may be happening in your life as well. People running from God. Let's finish the story. So Jonah is a prophet of God. And as a prophet of God, he was commanded to speak the words of God, the truth of God. And God chose him to go to Nineveh, which had been rebelling against God and sinning. The Bible says great wickedness was going on in that city. And Jonah was selected to go to that city and cry against it. And then Jonah decided he didn't want to do that. He thought he'd just take the first Uber out of town. The Uber in that day happened to be a ship. And he said, I'm going to get on this ship and I'm going to go to Tarshish. I'm going to get away from God. I don't want to do what God's telling me to do. I don't want to do it. Know anybody like that? God tells them to do something, they don't want to do it.
Amen.
Yeah, you have any children? You ever tell them to do something, they don't want to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's a strange thing that people run from God or run from authority.
Amen.
Or run from doing what is right. It's not that strange. It happens quite often. So here we find he's running from God, and all of a sudden the Bible says, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea. Did you realize, my friend, that sometimes the storms that cross our paths and happen in our life might be for a reason that God has somebody that's not doing what he wanted them to do?
Wow. Yeah.
You ever think about that? Well, this storm comes up, these sailors, they had no idea what's going on. They've got a storm come up. They're throwing out the tackle. They're throwing out the gain. All their profits are going into the sea because they realize something. What's it going to profit if I gain the whole world and lose my own soul? And so out the tackle goes into the sea. They're not worried about the profits anymore. They're worried about the skin of their teeth and surviving the storm. And they figured it out that this storm must have come from a god. Did you read that story? The storm must have come from a god. And they began crying out to their gods, and they cast lots to find out who's at fault. You know, some lost people are pretty smart sometimes. They figured out that somebody's rebelling against God, and let's find out who it is. Somebody's offended God, and that's why we're in the predicament we're in. Let's find out who it is. And they cast lots, and guess what the lot fell on? Jonah. Where is he? He's asleep. I think I read in the Bible somewhere it says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Yeah. There's a time when we can sleep, but there's a time we ought to be awake. And I don't think it was appointed time for Jonah to be sleeping. He should have been awake to righteousness, but he wasn't. He was asleep. And I find it amazing in verse 6, the shipmaster comes to him and he says, what meanest thou, O sleeper? I love the Bible. I love the stories in the Bible. Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. You know what? There's some people out there that don't have a Bible, don't know our Lord Jesus Christ, but they got enough common sense to realize we ought to be calling upon God. So the lot falls upon him, and Jonah had enough character in him at least to admit he was the guilty party. And you find that down in verse 9. He said to them, I am an Hebrew. I fear the Lord. Do you? I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said to them, why hast thou done this? There's a question. If you fear the Lord God that made the heaven and the earth, have you ever looked up to heaven?
Yeah.
A God that made that, the Bible says he spoke the word and boom, it was there.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked out at the vast expanse of the sea? Did you ever look at it?
Yeah.
God spoke the word and boom, it was there.
Wow.
And these mariners that don't know the Lord God are saying, you're a servant of the God that made all this? And you did this? Why hast thou done this? And that's a question for us this morning. Why would we ever run from God? Why would you do that? Well, the story goes on. They don't want to cast Jonah in the sea. And Jonah, he's at the end of his rope and he just soon give up his life. So just throw me in the sea and you'll be all right. They didn't want to do it. They prayed. They prayed to God. God have mercy upon us. We don't want to be casting your servant into the sea after this storm came because he's rebelling against thee. We don't want to do that, but they ended up doing it and boom, calm. The sea's calm. Then the Bible says that God prepared a great fish and that fish swallowed Jonah. Jonah was thinking, you know, I could run from God. I'll just commit suicide. I'll have these sailors cast me in the sea and it'll all be done. But God had plans for him.
Amen.
You can't run from God. If you don't get anything else out of this story this morning, you can't run from God. So the fish swallows Jonah. Jonah's down in the belly of the whale. Jesus said, 3 days and three nights. He cries out, and the Bible says in chapter 2, he cried out of the belly of the whale, out of the belly of hell cried I. And God heard him. Oh, the mercy and the grace of God.
Amen.
The mercy and the grace of God. God heard him out of the belly of hell. And God caused that fish to vomit him up on dry land.
Wow.
And the Bible tells us that Jonah figured, I better do what God told me to do. And he goes into Nineveh and he preaches. And you know what? He cries against it. There's nowhere in any of the messages we can find that Jonah said gave any hope to the Ninevites that they would find mercy or grace. I mean, Jonah's going in there preaching hellfire and damnation. The wrath of God is coming upon you. And you know what happened? That city of 120,000 people repented. The politician, the king of that city, he calls on all the people to repent. He says, I want you to put sackcloth and ashes on because God himself is angry with us for our wickedness. And he says, I want you to cover up your animals too. Put them in sackcloth and ashes because God is angry.
Amen.
Boy, there's an attitude for you.
Amen.
You find out that God's angry, you seek mercy, you seek grace, you repent.
Amen.
And they did, and God, the Bible says in chapter 3 that God saw that. He saw that, and he says he turned, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil they was going to do to them. And now we find out why Jonah ran from God. Because there's many reasons why people run from God. And I'm going to list a few here. In fact, you know what? It's my sermon, right? I can do what I want, so I'll just skip ahead. You don't have the notes. I'm not flashing them on the screen here. I'll just skip over some of my notes and tell you why some people run from God. I just wrote down a few reasons. One, they run from God because God is not in all their thoughts. They don't want God in their thoughts. They don't want to be thinking about God. They want to do what they want to do, and they don't want God messing with them. That's one reason. Some people run from God, well, this should be obvious, is they don't love God. They don't care about God. They're not worried about pleasing God. In fact, if they had enough guts, they would just say it outright, I hate God. I despise God. Now, very few people are that brave. Most of them, they just act it out. And it's pretty obvious they hate God. They don't love God. Or they certainly love other things more than they love God.
Yeah.
The other reason that people run away from God is because they don't like the rules that God set.
Amen.
They don't like his commandments. They don't like his holiness. They don't like his demands on their life. They don't like any of his rules. They don't like his Bible. They don't like thou shalt not commit adultery. They don't like thou shalt not kill. They don't like thou shalt not steal. They don't like any of the rules of God, and off they go. Many young men has ran from their parents because they didn't like the rules daddy set down.
Amen.
Yeah. Or mama set down. So people run from God because they don't like God's rules. They run from God is because they don't want to serve God or they don't want to serve their neighbor. Do you know what the great commandment is in the Bible?
Yep.
I can give you a Bible lesson, a whole Bible lesson in just two phrases. Love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
And people run from God because they don't want to love God with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind. They don't want God to be the priority in their life. They want other things to be the priority, namely
Amen. Me. Amen.
Yeah, they're narcissists. They're thinking about themselves. God has given them all the blessings of life. God has provided them with food. God has provided them with life. God has provided them with air. God has sent great blessings upon them. Some of them live in the greatest nation of the history of mankind. God has blessed them tremendously, but they don't want God in their life. And so off they go. They're running from God. They're running from God because they don't want to serve God and they don't want to serve their neighbor. That second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. They don't like their neighbors. And guess what? This was the reason that Jonah ran from God. He didn't like his neighbors. He didn't like them. They were a different anesthetist. How do you say that word? Say it, somebody say it. I'm having a hard time speaking this. Yeah, you got the message. There you go. They weren't of the same race. They weren't of the same religion. I don't like them people. More than that, they don't like me. And if they don't like me, I'm not going to like them. You ever meet anybody like that? If you don't like me, I don't like you. Well, that's not what God said. God said you ought to love your enemies. And so off he goes, running. Listen what it says. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. You ever find people angry at God?
Yep.
Shake their fist at God? And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled, he tells you, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Wow. What a reason to run from God. God, you're too merciful. God, you're too gracious. God, you're too kind. God, you're too loving. I like it that you love me. I don't like it that you love them.
Yeah.
I like it that you're kind to me. I don't like it that you're kind to them.
Right.
I enjoy your mercy. I appreciate it, but I don't like it that you're merciful to my enemies. Therefore, I'm running from your commandment. I knew, he says, I knew what you would do. And I didn't want to do it. There is a command in the Bible for you and I as believers to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah, but I don't like them. I don't like what they eat. I don't like the way they dress. I don't like the way they look. I don't like their religion. I don't like anything about them. This is not Sam I Am. This is just, you know, some of you caught that one. I don't like anything that they do. They're not like me. And I am the center of the universe. It's more important what I do than their well-being. My well-being is more important. Well, that's not what God said. God said, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Seems like there's other priorities that should be in our lives, is what God said. And off Jonah goes, running from God. There, people run from God because, like I said, they're narcissists. They don't like rules. They don't like being restricted. They don't like the lack of freedom. They want to be the captain of their own fate. They want to do what they want to do. I am I, and I am the captain. I do as I please. But people run from God because of the pleasures of sin. I find pleasure in the sins that I do. And God doesn't want me to do it. And it's like a spoiled child. You don't want me to do this because you don't want me to have fun. You ever have hearing your children? You're spoiling my fun. I wanted to have fun. I wanted to have that toy. I want to have that object. You won't let me do it. Did you know grown adults act like children?
Amen.
In the presence of God? I wanted to have fun and you wouldn't let me. You said, thou shall not.
Amen.
I don't like that. And you stand there like Peter saying, not so, Lord, I'm not going to do it. The Bible says that Moses chose to suffer the affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You know what? You can have pleasure in your toys. You can have pleasure in sin. Sin can be very pleasurable. But there's a warning. It's only for a season.
Amen.
And God had already said, don't do it.
Amen.
Don't sin. How many times in the Bible he's told somebody that found themselves in sin, he forgave them and he said, now go and sin no more. Don't do that anymore. It's not good for you. Did you ever consider the fact that God has your best interests at heart?
Lord,
that God is really interested in what's best for you.
Amen.
But you as a spoiled child can't see beyond your nose, think that daddy's against you or the father's against you or your mother's against you and won't let you go out and play.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember a time in my life, and I'm just going to give one example of many. My mother said, I wanted to go fishing. My buddies were all going fishing. I wanted to go fishing. And my mother said no. Now, she didn't tell me why she said no. She just said no. I thought that was very unfair. And I said, I'm going fishing anyway. She said, don't do it. I wanted to go fishing. So off I go, and I go fishing with my buddies. You know, 5, 6, 7 hours later, we come back. And guess what my mother had planned for us? We were going to go fishing with my dad on a boat. Instead, I went fishing a little creek that didn't have but two feet of water in it. And I stuck my little pole in and caught no fish. Now, I know I would have caught some fish had I gone with my father on the boat out into the lake where there really were some fish. You see, when my mother had said no, she had my best interests at heart.
Yeah.
But because I didn't have the knowledge that my mother had, and I thought I was smarter than her, I rebelled. Now, are you smarter than God? Do you have all the facts that God has? Did you know that God is interested in you? I don't know why.
Amen.
I don't know why. Why he's interested in you. And you're sitting here saying, yeah, he's interested in me. I don't know why he's interested in you, but I understand that. Yeah. That's what you're saying. I can understand. We're all like that. But God has, and this is an amazing thing, God has our best interests in heart.
Amen.
And when he says don't do something, he has a reason.
Yeah.
But you and I, just like children, your parent tells you, you're a little toddler, you tell the toddler, don't touch the stove, it's hot. No, it's not. And the toddler, after repeated warnings, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, God says to you, don't do it. Don't do that. It's hot. Don't touch it. Jonah says in the belly of the whale, the belly of hell, he cries out for mercy. It is an amazing thing how God is merciful to us.
Amen.
None of us deserve mercy.
Amen.
Have you ever considered what it costs, what the cost is from running from God? The consequences? Well, there's a question. He says in the book of Hebrews, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How are we going to escape? Not really. Just let's pause here. Do you really think you're going to outrun God?
Yeah.
Really? You're going to outrun God? The psalmist said it this way, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I ascend and make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Do you think God didn't have an outpost there in Tarshish? You didn't think God was there on that boat with Jonah?
Yeah.
You think you really can't get away from God? You can't get away from him. So the question is, how are you going to escape?
Right.
If God's told you to do something, how are you going to get away with it? You're not.
Amen.
You're not going to get away with it. The Bible tells us, whatsoever man soweth, that she also reap.
Right.
You're going to reap what you sow. There, judgment day is coming. The wages of sin is death. You're not going to get away with it. Did you know that your rebellion and by your running from God and not doing the will of God has an effect on others?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Did you know that your sin and your rebellion may affect your children?
Mm-hmm.
May affect your husband, may affect your wife. It definitely affected these mariners. These sailors, their life was in peril. They almost lost their life because Jonah decided to run from the Lord.
Yeah.
And this is the problem with people that run from the Lord. They're so narcissistic that they only think about themselves and they don't think about the consequences that it has on others.
Yeah, that's right.
Many a child running from their parents don't realize the sleepless nights their parents spent praying over them, crying over them, wanting them to come home. But they decided to rebel. It's not a wise thing to run from God.
Amen.
Well, obviously, if you run from God, you just may find yourself in the belly of a whale.
Yeah.
The preacher said in the book of Proverbs, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You ever seen anybody that's been drinking and taking drugs and running a riotous life? Do you ever notice how old they look?
Amen. Amen.
And they said, today's my birthday. Oh, how old are you? 25. The way of the transgressor is hard. Sin, I know it paints, I know it's all painted up, it's like advertisement, it's all false.
Yeah, it
is. It's a facade.
Amen.
It's an entrapment.
Yeah.
It's deception.
Yeah.
It's all glittery and pretty. Like Brother Brian the other day, he went into that bar that he had spent all his youth going in and out of this bar, and he thought it was the greatest place in town until he delivered things to that bar during the daylight and he saw all the crud and the garbage and oh man, the yuck. That's sin. As long as it's dark out, as long as we think that God's not looking in, boy, it's fun, ain't it? And then judgment comes. The Bible also says there's no peace for the wicked. The Lord said that. There's no peace. You're looking for peace. You want peace. You want comfort. You want the pleasures of God. You want the blessings of God. You want those things that God can give you. But you're running in the wrong direction. Let me tell you something. It's not to be found in Tarshish. It's found in doing the will of God.
Amen.
It's found in listening to what God has to say and then doing it. It doesn't make sense to run from God. If you're looking for peace, run to God, not run from Him.
Amen.
Somebody says, yeah, but I can't find God. Well, don't run from Him. Why don't you run towards Him? Maybe you might find Him. I think that would be a better idea, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Run towards Him. Why don't you look for Him instead of running away from Him?
Amen.
The Bible says that he being often reproved hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed and that without remedy. There are some real dangers from running from God because there is the possibility that says, okay, God just might say, okay. I've asked you, I begged you, I pleaded with you, I sent messengers to you, I caused the storm, I sent a fish that swallowed you, I've got you down in the belly of hell, I've tried to reason with you, and there may be a day when God says, okay, go.
Yeah. That's true.
Then what will be your end? Without God for eternity. That's something, isn't it? Did you know there's some things in the Bible that says directly that we should flee from?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Did you know that?
Yes.
One of them is not God. That's not in the list. There are some things we should flee from. I just happened to write a few of them down. If you don't mind, I think I'll mention them. How about flee from the wrath to come?
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of the great judgment?
Yeah.
You know there's a judgment coming. You know you can't hide your sins. You know you're going to give an account.
Yes.
That is a great mistake that many people think. They think if I don't think about it, it's not going to happen. Well, that's not true. That's not true. Judgment is coming. You're going to stand before an almighty God, a God that doesn't have painted eyes, a God that doesn't have molded ears, a God that doesn't have painted lips, a God that is a living God that knows the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. He not only knows what you did, He knows why you did it.
Yeah,
And while you were standing there on the corner with folded hands and praying, and everybody is giving you the praise on how unholy you were, he knew that you were a hypocrite from the very beginning. And as you stand before all and blew the trumpet, look at me casting in the alms. I'm giving money to God's purpose. God knew the wickedness of your heart.
Amen.
You see, all of us are going to stand before God and give an account to that living God. Are you prepared for that day? So he says, flee from the wrath to come.
Amen.
He says, flee from idolatry. Did you know our God is a living God?
Amen.
So many religions have an idol for a God. And they will go on great pilgrimages and bow down before their idols and images. They'll set them up in their homes. They'll put it around their neck. God is not an image that is made with hands. God is the creator of all things. He is beyond time. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is eternal. He has no beginning. You cannot make an image of God. In fact, he says, don't do it. Don't do it. Flee from idolatry. Idolatry is a form of betrayal with God because God is God and you found other lovers. Now you might think this ridiculous, but it is true. If I were to come home and my wife had an image of the neighbor on the wall, there's going to be some problems. And no, I'm sorry, honey. Let me rephrase that. If you came home and your wife had an image on the wall, would there not be some problems? She had an image of your neighbor, but she insisted to you, she told you, honey, you're the prime love of my life. But I just want to honor our neighbor because he's such a good fellow. You would think that ridiculous, would you not? And you would probably agree with me that that would probably, unfortunately, lead to some type of conflict. Yeah? That conflict may or may not ever be resolved. Yeah? In fact, it may lead to divorce. Why? Because your wife haven't had an image on the wall of somebody else. You know what? You've never seen God. You don't know what he looks like. You don't know if he's black or white or green or yellow. You have no idea what he looks like. And you have no right to make an image of him.
That's right.
In fact, a lot of your images aren't even of God.
That's right.
They're of Mary, of the saints, of who knows what.
Yeah.
He says, flee from idolatry.
Amen.
You know what else he said? Flee fornication. Hello, America.
Amen.
Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Do you know we got a problem in America with fornication?
Yeah.
Amen. Yes, amen.
I'm glad to hear that. That's good news. I'm glad you know that. Because God said, flee fornication. But do you know how many people are running after fornication? Do you know how many young men are trying to get you young ladies in bed with them?
Yeah.
Without the blessings of marriage?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, the word of the Lord came unto you and he said that God has blessed the marriage.
Amen.
He says it in the book of Hebrews. In fact, he said, marriage is honorable in all.
Amen.
And the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
Wicked.
And I can see your brain cranking. What's wrong with the pleasures of sex? Nothing in the marriage bed.
That's right.
Outside of the marriage bed, it's abominable and God hates it.
That's right.
Hello. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
He said, flee fornication. Let me pause here and give you an extra message. This is extra. No extra charge. Young ladies, let me tell you something. There we got 10 more minutes. Young ladies, let me tell you something about men. Men will do everything in their possibility, promise you the world, to get you into bed. They don't have your best interests at heart.
Right.
Their lust is dominating. They will promise you. They will sweet talk you. They will pay whatever the price except for commitment to get you into bed. And then when you find yourself pregnant, you're not going to find them anymore.
Amen.
The Bible says, God says, taking your best interests at heart, flee fornication.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. If you think that only happens to those out there, you got another thing coming. You better watch out, because young men, old men too, have desires that are not based on the Bible.
That's right.
God bless the institution of marriage. That is the only place that sex ought to be going on, in the marriage bed, not outside of the marriage bed. And that verse that I just read you, whoremongers and adulterers, God is going to judge. I wrote some statistics down. Did you know that sexually transmitted disease is on the increase? Now, I grew up in the old days, not as the old days like Lindell, just after Lindell's old days. I grew up in the old days. I grew up when there was no sex education in school. With the advent of CECUS in about 1967 coming into the schools and teaching our young people sex education, and to me it's not really sex education because it's more like sex promotion or provocation, yeah. The amount of abortions going on in the world was tremendously less. The amount of sexually, STDs they call them, sexually transmitted disease, was tremendously less before all the sex education. After the sex education entered into our schools, fornication exploded. Sexually transmitted diseases exploded. Abortions exploded. God says, flee fornication.
Amen.
I got this, some statistics here. STDs are disproportionately affect young people under the age of 25. Why? A lot of fornication going on. Ethnic and racial minority groups, I have no idea why that is, but these are just statistics from the government. Gay and bisexual men, understand that. Used to be called HIV, used to be called GRID, gay-related immunity deficiency. Wow. Why? Because some people were seeking out their pleasure. Yes, sex will give you pleasure, there's no doubt. It's only for a season. It's only for a moment. And then there's consequences. Did you know that one in five Americans have some type of sexually transmitted disease? One in five. Somebody's been running from God.
Yeah,
a whole lot of people have been running from God.
Amen.
God said, don't do that.
Amen.
It's hot. Don't touch that. It will burn you. And some people are getting burned and they have that disease for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And some of those diseases shorten their lives. Some of those diseases affect their children. Don't do it. 31% of single mothers live below the poverty line. Why are you poor? Well, maybe you've been sleeping with that boy and now you got his kids and he's not around to help. Personally, I don't think the government ought to support those people. I think the government ought to make the boys pay for the children.
Amen.
But that's my opinion. I'm not going to enter into politics. Over 1 million abortions in these United States. That's 88,000 a month. 88,000 a month. Now, that's only the cases where the young lady got impregnated. Do you know how many times fornication has to be being committed for that to happen? And then out of those people, the young ladies that get impregnated, not all of them, thankfully, not all of them abort their children?
Yeah.
It's not even conceivable to me. When I read these figures, they're staggering.
Yeah.
88,000 abortions a month in these United States. Somebody hasn't been listening. Flee fornication.
Right.
Marriage is honorable. And yet people are trying to destroy marriage. They're running from God. Let me tell you something. Marriage is about commitment. And a boy that will sleep with you without commitment, without the act of marriage, is not interested in you. I don't care what he says. He's lying. He's lying. Absolute wickedness. The divorce rate in these United States is at about 48%. 48% of, now that's gone down slightly because marriage has gone down. People are just shacking up. They're just living with each other. Hey, God says don't do that. Get married. Are you listening or are you running? 48%. Somebody says, well, you know, I didn't get along with her. We weren't compatible. So I'm going to try it again. The rate goes up the more times you get married. So 48% in divorce, first time marriage, 69% second time marriage, and even more third time. You don't need to practice at it. You need to be committed.
Yeah.
Reason for divorce, 75% lack of commitment. Did you know the Bible says you are commanded to love your neighbor?
Yeah.
That tells me something very important, that love is not an emotion. Hello, somebody lied to you, they told you it was an emotion. Love is a decision that you make. You decide to love. Yeah, but I don't like that person. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Did you know in the old days, daddy used to decide who you married? I don't like him. Don't matter, daddy says. And then you had to learn to love. Learn to love? Yeah, learn to love. Hello? Okay. Commercial break is over. Let's finish up the message. All that was for free. Jonah ran from God, and why did he run from God? Because God, he didn't want God to be merciful to his enemies. Why are you running from God? You know, there's another story in the Bible. I'm going to end by the grace of God with this story. It's in Luke chapter 15. It's a similar story. It's about a young man running from his daddy. Many people call it the prodigal son. It's in Luke chapter 15, a very interesting story. He goes to his father. He says, give me my inheritance. Now, normally you don't get your inheritance until after daddy dies. But he goes to his daddy. He says, I want my inheritance now. For whatever reason, his dad says, all right, I'll give it to you. He gives it to him and off he goes. He's running. I don't like daddy's rules. I don't want to do the chores, whatever. He's running off. He doesn't want to do what daddy told him to do. And he runs off. And the Bible says that he ended up wasting all of his inheritance on riotous living. He was chasing after girls. He was buying drinks at the bar. He spent it all. And this little Jewish boy ended up feeding pigs. Jews aren't allowed to touch pigs or eat pig meat. And this little Jewish boy running from his daddy ends up going against everything he was brought up, everything against that he'd ever learned. And he ends up feigning, wanting to eat that which the pigs ate. He couldn't even chop at the pig and eat it. He's just going to eat pig slop. The Bible says that he came to himself. He came to himself. It's a wake-up call. It's God's alarm clock. Thank God for God putting alarm clocks in our lives. Whether it's a great wind or a fish or coming to ourselves, there's something that happens. And if that is a critical moment, my friend, don't run from that. When God is calling your number and the alarm clock is going off, it's time to come to yourself. And this young man said to himself, you know what? I had it better in my father's house. I'm going to go back to my father and I'm going to tell him I'll just be a hired servant. I'll just be a servant. I don't have to be your son anymore. I'm not worthy. I'm just going to go back to my father's self, because he realized it wasn't a wise thing to run from God.
Amen.
And it wasn't a wise thing to run from a loving father. But he did. But thank God the alarm bell went off.
Amen.
And I can remember in my youth, there was a time when I was out on the streets doing things I should not have been done that would have led me to jail or death. When the alarm bell went off, I said, what am I doing? This path is on a path of destruction. I'm not going down this anyway. And somewhere down along, by the grace of God, I heard that Jesus said, I am the way,
amen,
the truth, and the life. No man come along the Father but by me. And I came to Jesus and he changed my life.
Amen.
And the story about this prodigal is very interesting, because when he goes back home, you would think that by this time the father had forgotten about him and gave up on him, but that's not the father's heart. And like I told you from the very beginning, that God has our best interests in heart. God wants the very, very best for us. And the Bible says that this father, he looked up looking for a son, and there he was. And the father ran to him, grabbed him and hugged him and kissed him. And he said, slay the fatted calf, put on a robe, put a ring on his finger. This my son was lost, but now he's home.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Where are you at this morning? Are you running from God? Don't do it. Don't do it. Stop where you're at, turn around and go back.
Amen.
Your father loves you.
Amen.
Where are you at? Don't disobey God. There are consequences for disobeying a God.
Amen.
Not because God is angry. God has your best interest in heart, and he's telling you don't touch it because you'll get burned.
That's right.
And he's calling. And he says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
God is a merciful God. If God is able to forgive the Ninevites, he's able to forgive you. But you got to come back home.
Amen.
You got to turn around and come back home.
Amen.
I think it's time for you to make a decision,
amen,
to run toward God,
amen,
instead of running away from God.
Amen.
Jonah wasn't wise in running from God when he heard the word of the Lord. And you would not be wise to run from God when you hear the word of the Lord. You don't know if you're going to have a tomorrow. You have today. And I think the Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
And the Bible advises us, do not grieve the Spirit of God. Don't quench that Spirit of God. When that voice is speaking to you, you ought to listen. And I'm going to close with one story, because it will bring home the point. I used to work with a young man named Thomas, interesting enough, at the post office, right out here at Paramount Roll. I used to work as a letter sorting machine operator. And we weren't always on the machine. Sometimes we had to sort mail by hand. That's a long, tedious job. It's all night long, 10, 12 hours a night. And Thomas and I were working together. I had an opportunity to tell him about the Lord Jesus. He wasn't going anywhere. So, you know, I just tell him about the Lord. And it wasn't like, you know, at work we're on the phones, you can't talk. I could talk to him all night long, and he couldn't go anywhere. Even when he wasn't listening, I was talking. I was talking about Jesus, telling him what the Lord had done in my life.
Amen.
And I invited him over for dinner, and Thomas came. He came over for dinner, and Janice made him a great dinner. We sat down, we had dinner, and I talked to him a little bit more about the Lord. And I said, Thomas, do you understand the gospel, the good news that Christ died on the cross for you, and that if you'd call upon his name, you could be saved today? And tears began to run down his cheeks. He said, yeah, I understand. I said, Thomas, why don't you call upon the name of the Lord right now? Right now we can bow our knees and you can call upon him. I'll pray with you, and you can pray, and God will hear you if you'd call upon him. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe it. How about it, Thomas? How about it? He said, not now. I said, not now. No, now is the time. He said, no, let me think about it. But Thomas, you've already acknowledged it's true. Yeah, it's true. You've already acknowledged that if you'd call upon him, he'd save you. Yes, that's true. What do you got to think about? Not now. I begged, I pleaded, I cried, I tried to persuade him. He said, not now. I'll see you at work tonight. Went to work that night. He was that close, almost persuaded. Almost persuadest thou to be me to be a Christian. Almost! I got to work to that night, and it was like we never knew each other. That we'd never met, that we'd had no conversation. I got the cold shoulder. No more acknowledgments. No more, hi, how are you? No more good evening, good to see you. Nothing. I don't know whatever happened to Thomas. I hope by the grace of God he got saved. I never had an opportunity to see that. That's very dangerous. Very dangerous to be that close to find yourself in the belly of hell and not cry out to God. To find out that the storms that are happening in your life was because God was trying to get you to turn around and realize it, that it's the hand of God, and you say, not now. Not now. Oh, my friend, that is so dangerous. Now is the time. Let's have a word of prayer and close this out. Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercy. I do pray if there's somebody here this morning that's running, that they'll stop and cry out to you and turn back and return to the Father's house. Lord, I pray that you'd have mercy upon them. And Lord, I pray if they're not saved, that they would be saved and eternally forgiven for their sins.
Amen.
Bless us as we go home. Bless us as we come again tonight around the Lord's Supper. May your name be glorified. Have mercy upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you'd like to talk to me or some of these other brothers about your soul, we're here for you. May God richly bless you. Please give the right hand of fellowship to my co-workers. I'm really honored that they're here, and may God richly bless you. Amen.